in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Of our understanding be enlightened. Take us from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from strength to strength. Paul said, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. He said, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Father, by your supernatural help, we continue, we continue, we continue, we continue this journey by supernatural strength, by the supernatural help that comes from you alone. Our strength are renewed like the eagles in your presence. Thank you, Father. Every weakness gives way. The strength of God is infused in us. Thank you, Father. Our hearts and minds are open to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save, to heal, to deliver, to prosper, to renew our mind, to transform us, and to transport us from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I welcome you to day nine, right, of our 14-day mid-year mega harvest fasting and prayer. You might be seated. Can we come to the middle row as usual? Let's come to the middle. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Yesterday we concluded our series on the power of priestly what? Sacrifice. The power of priestly sacrifices. Very powerful series. These are messages you should listen to over and over and over again. Am I communicating? If you miss anyone, you get it from our Telegram channel or download it from our website. In fact, even if you were around in all of them, go and re-listen to it again. Am I communicating? You remember that scripture we read on Sunday? The measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear determines the measure of what? Virtue or power and knowledge that will be multiplied to you. Praise God. Matthew chapter 9 verse 30. Matthew 9:36. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Today we start another set of teaching. I'm telling you, this series will bless you. Kai, it will bless you tremendously. Praise God. Please pay rapt attention because your life is about to change. Matthew 9 verse 36. But when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest truly is plenteous. But the laborers are few. The laborers are few. There is no scarcity of harvest. There is only scarcity of laborers. And heaven is announcing that there is vacancy to employ more laborers. Am I communicating? There is a need for the recruitment, the training, and the trusting of more laborers into the harvest field of the world. Am I communicating? To prevent the harvest from decaying and perishing. Every wise farmer knows that if he does not harvest his crop during harvest time, what will happen? They get destroyed, they decay, they perish. Are you aware souls are perishing daily? Lives, people dying, headed for godless eternity. We need to rush in and rescue them. We talked about soul winning yesterday. It's a rescue mission, and you are God's strategy to carry out our operation. Listen, the Great Commission mandate, that vision, that mission, to accomplish it needs a strategy. And guess what? You are God's strategy. The church is God's strategy for accomplishing his mission of winning the whole world, reconciling the world back to himself. We are his strategy. Praise God. He said, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. God's method are men. God uses the church to reach out to the dying world with the saving gospel of Christ, the saving message of the gospel of Christ. Am I communicating? Then, okay, we are reading Matthew 9:37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will what? Send forth what? Laborers. Send forth laborers, or force out laborers. That word send forth is a Greek word, ekbalo. That word is not a gentle word. It connotes use of force. Force. It involves force and violence. Why? Because the laborers don't want to leave their comfort zone. They are very unwilling. It takes power to do that. He said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Am I communicating? Bring the volume very low. Praise God. Now listen. It takes a lot of power to overcome that reluctance, that unwillingness, that inertia that is keeping the laborers in one spot, not making them to get the job done, to get passionate, to get committed about the business of the kingdom. It takes a lot of force and power. That's why it says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will ekbalo laborers. Is that same word used when he said, these signs shall follow them that believe? In Mark 16 verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. That word cast out there is ekbalo. It's the same word translated when it says send forth. So you see, it takes power to cast out. Are you seeing that? It takes power. It takes force. So when he says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth. You can even use that word that he will cast out laborers. That he push them into the harvest field. It takes power. It takes force. Am I communicating? The Lord of the harvest. Who is the Lord of the harvest? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. Am I communicating? He is the grand commanding officer. is the Lord of hosts, is the Lord of Sabaoth, is the Lord of the heavenly angelic host, and also the commander of the captain. Am I communicating? He's a captain of the host of heaven. He's a commanding officer of the armies of heaven, both the angelic army and the army of believers, because we are soldiers. Am I communicating? The church is an army. Every born again Christian is part of God's army. We are all soldiers of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is our grand commanding officer. Is our captain, is a captain of the host of heaven and even the church on earth. Is the one controlling, commanding the angelic host and also the saints on earth. Am I communicating? Is the Lord of the harvest. Is our director. Is the one that empowers us. Is the one that strengthens us. He gives us the wisdom to bring in the harvest. He infuses us with the supernatural power, the might needed to bring in the harvest. He gives us the necessary strength, the strength we need to reap the harvest. They all come from him. Am I communicating? He's the Lord of the harvest. And today I'll start talking about encounters with the Lord of the harvest. Encounters. Encounters with the Lord of the harvest. Divine encounters with him. You see, Luke chapter 10 verse 2, it repeated the same thing. Luke chapter 10, it repeated the same thing verbatim. He said, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest field. Our mission will fail. Our mission will be a fiasco if we don't learn to partner with the Lord of the harvest. It is partnership with the Lord of the harvest that makes our mission successful. He grants us all the help we need. He is our helper. Is our advocate, is our counselor, is our comforter, is our intercessor, is our standby, the Holy Spirit. There is no way we can be successful in our mission of reaping this mega harvest we are talking about without what? The partnership of what? The Lord of the harvest, who is the Holy Spirit. We must partner with him. We've got to partner with him. Glory to God. You need to get to know him. The Holy Spirit is real. He's a real person. Listen, God is very real. God is real. And God can be known. God can be known. We may not be able to know all of him on this side of eternity. In fact, throughout all eternity, you may not know all of God. You can't know all of God, because his glory is multidimensional. His glory is multidimensional. Throughout all of the eternity, we will keep seeing new dimensions of God and new dimensions of his glory. Even the 24 elders that have been with him for for eons, every time they bow, why do they bow? They see a new dimension of his glory that they've never seen before. By the time they lift up their head, they see another dimension that they've never seen, that they've never encountered before. It forces them to bow again. And they keep bowing in worship for years. And they will continue doing that forever and ever and ever. That's to tell you who God is. Am I communicating? God reveals himself to us dimensionally. You may want to write that down. Very powerful, very important statement. God reveals to us, though He is infinite. Knowledge of him is infinite. But he reveals himself to us dimensionally and progressively. Look at Apostle Paul, Philippians 3:10. He says, Paul cried out after how many years of ministry? After God had used him powerfully, after he had seen various dimensions of God's glory, he had walked in it. He had known God to an extent. He was not a baby. Yet, look at his prayer here. He cried out. He said that I may know him. That I may know him. So God can be known. And never think that all you know about God is all there is to know. There is more. There is more. Even those in heaven are still discovering new dimensions of God. How much more you on earth? Even the angels around his throne, there are dimensions of him they don't know. The 24 elders. God can be known. He reveals himself to us dimensionally. He reveals his glory to us dimensionally. He reveals himself to us progressively. Paul, after years of successful ministry, after he had done exploits, after he had done manner of miracles, signs and wonders, he still cried out that I may what? Know him. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Give me an amplified. Watch this. Amplified. Kito barakataya. Encounters with the Lord of the harvest. He said, for my determined purpose is that I may know him. In parenthesis, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Look at the play of words. Paul wants to know him progressively, intimately, becoming intimately acquainted with him. Am I communicating? You know, God is not real to some Christians. In fact, listen. This is why many Christians, This is why many Christians find it difficult to walk by faith, because God is not yet real to them. This is why many Christians easily compromise their faith, because God is not yet real to them. This is why you will see a Christian go abroad to study, or go to UK, go to the Western, or go to America, and then he goes and turns into an atheist. Few years down the line, you call him brother so-so. This is a brother that was in church. So how far? How is your relationship with God and all of that? I say, God? I don't believe that crap anymore. Bullshit. I don't believe those bullshit story anymore. See, people are deluded. You understand? There's no God. There's a figment of human imagination. You understand? Why did that happen to him? Because when he was in Nigeria, God was not real to him. He only knew God in theory. That's the truth. Listen, the times that we are in, and as the coming of Christ draws closer, the way things will be in this world is such that if you don't know God by revelation, if you don't know God by encounters, if God is not yet real to you, I'm telling you, you may lose your faith. The way the world is going. Why do people renounce Jesus? Because God is not yet real to them. The God they claim, all they had was religion, not reality. Are you getting? Is it is one thing to know God just in your head, theoretical God. That's the kind of God many Christians know. They only know God in theory, but they don't know God in reality. They've never encountered Him. They don't know Him intimately. They don't know Him. Are you getting me? They are not acquainted with Him. He is not real to them. It's just in their mind, God is one big Santa Claus in the sky. Even when they pray, God is far away in their mind. Far away. They can't. Are you getting me? They only know Him in theory. See, the God that you only know in theory, in the day of trouble, you will turn your back on that God. I'm telling you the truth. When this is why Christians visit native doctor for solution to problem. People that go to church, they go to church. Some of them are even workers and leaders in church. Some have card. You know, there are churches that before you collect Holy Communion, you have card. You must have card. They are communion card. Yet, listen, when problems of life hit them, they look for solution where they think there is reality. So that's why they go to native doctors. They go to herbalists. Because they don't truly believe that God that they are serving can help them. That's the reason. That's the truth. Because they only know God in theory, not in reality. They've never encountered Him. This is why some people renounce Christ under threat. This is why some say it's not threat, or it's not persecution threat. Because of money, they can renounce Christ. Somebody can offer them money from the other religion and tell them that if you leave Christianity and join Islam, who make you wealthy, a millionaire. I told you the story of that my doctor, a doctor in Abuja, that was telling me a very interesting story. How a Muslim ajia that he has been treating her, and anytime her children are sick, he does home service for them. It's like they are private doctor. He helps them. One day she told him in her house that he should convert to Islam, and started promising him that they will make him very rich. They will give him millions, that she's going to ensure that. And this woman is very wealthy. He said he just used brain and told her he would think about it because he was in her house. So let him not say no now, and then they can do him something. So he said he would think about it. So when he went home, he shared with his wife. His wife said, he said, it's time to what? Cut off from that woman. He then called her. He said, madam, I've considered your offer, and I want to let you know, from today, I'm no longer your doctor. I don't want to treat you again. I don't want to treat you. You understand? That was a big temptation. And he told me that this happened at a time that he needed money. He was in financial difficulty. Even money for house rent was a challenge. And this woman is here offering millions. Are you aware, if you go to Kano, you will see plenty Christians that have converted because of ego. What is Chukwu Emeka doing with Allahu Akbar? Talk to me. Sorry if you are Igbo. It's not only Igbo, but you see other tribe too. They are even sending some of them for training in Saudi Arabia to become a sheikh and all of that because of money. You see, let me tell you something. Ask yourself, what on earth will make a Christian to renounce Christ and accept Islam
The answer is simple. God is not real to them. God is not real to them. They were, all they had was religion, no reality. They've never encountered God. They don't know him. You cannot meet this God and renounce him for anything. Impossible. You would rather die. If you read church history, those believers that were persecuted for their sake, for their faith in the Roman Empire, you will see that some of them, they will tell them, renounce Christ or we cut off your head. They will even be smiling and be singing him, dancing my soul. They say, how can I renounce my Savior? God is too real to them. They would rather die with him and go to heaven than to renounce him because of common threat. Say, you can only kill the body. You cannot kill my spirit. Why? Because God was real to them. They have encountered him. They've met him. Today what we have is more of religion. Christians just going to church Sunday after Sunday. God is not real to them. They don't even know the God. No wonder they compromise. They easily compromise. They give up their faith. They renounce their faith. They concretize your conviction. Hiya! And it makes your faith to come alive. Encounters, they crystallize conviction concerning anything or anyone. Concerning the reality of God. Encounters, they cultivate that strong, concrete conviction about what you believe. Paul say, I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. I know him whom I have believed. Do you know him whom you have believed? And I'm not talking of knowing about him, because it's one thing to know about God, it's another thing to know God in reality. You can go to theology school, it's good. They will teach you about God. You can read books, read Bible, you will know about God. Am I communicating? CRUK can teach you about God, but do you know him? It's one thing to know about him, head knowledge. It's another need to know him experientially, through encounters. That's the type that concretizes conviction. So that nothing, come rain, come sun, come so anything, nothing can shake your conviction. It's through encounters. You develop unshakable conviction concerning this God and his word. You can even stake your life on it. On bending, you don't bend under pressure. You don't have vacillating convictions. You see, the vicissitude of life, the challenges of life, does not shake your conviction. Are you getting me? No amount of threat or persecution can make you to change your conviction. Ladiko barakata, I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Conviction brings you to the point of full persuasion. When you have that experiential knowledge, intimate acquaintance with this God, it brings you to the point of full persuasion. I know him whom I have believed. I know him whom I have believed. God is not a scam. They don't scam me. I know him experientially, through intimacy. I have intimate acquaintance with him whom I have believed, and I am fully persuaded, completely convinced. Are you getting me? This is what births conviction. Is encounters. Encounters bet convictions. They concretize conviction. They crystallize conviction. Many of our Christianity today lack conviction because people don't know God yet by encounters. Now, look, let me show you a powerful scripture. Daniel 11 verse 32b. He says, for the people that do know their God. The people that do know their God. He didn't say the people that do know about their God. See, let me tell you something. There is a big difference between head knowledge of God. That's when you know about God, it's just head knowledge. And when you know God experientially, by revelation, by encounters, that one becomes heart knowledge. It's no longer head, it's in your heart. Because that is where convictions are bettered. You become fully persuaded. You are completely convinced about his reality. Even beyond what they taught you in school, what they taught you in CRK, beyond what the preacher taught you, beyond what they taught you in church, you have come to the point of full persuasion. Personal conviction. Am I communicating? So that even if the person that preached the gospel to you, that led you to Christ, even if he comes tomorrow and tell you that, that Jesus I preached to you na scam, that serving God is a scam, that this thing, I no sure again, I think say na scam, it becomes too late. Because you have come to the point of personal conviction. You've come to know this God that not even the person that preached to you yesterday will come and confuse your head again. Impossible. Am I communicating? The people that do know their God, and the Hebrew word know there is not head knowledge. It's the word yada, yada. Yada. Yada means how do I explain yada now? Intimate knowledge, experiential knowledge. Yada means experiential knowledge. It also means deep acquaintance. The people that are deeply acquainted with their God. The people that have a deep acquaintance with their God, that are intimate with their God. Yada talks of intimacy, intercourse. Intercourse. Should I show you another place where that word was used? It will drive home the meaning. You will get it better now. Give me Genesis 4 verse 1. When the Bible says, and Adam, the first man God created, he knew his wife. The first woman, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. Now watch this. And Adam, Genesis 4 verse 1, knew his wife Eve. He knew his wife, he knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now that word knew is that word yada. And Adam yada his wife. Now, this is talking of carnal knowledge, as in he slept with his wife. Sexual intercourse between husband and wife. To tell you the meaning of yada. So, can you see that this is not head thing? It talk of intimacy. Intimate knowledge. Are you getting me? Do you know when a husband sleeps with his wife, that is the height of knowing each other? Are you aware? Are you aware? Yes, that's the height of knowing each other. Intercourse. Kaligo barakataya. Intimate knowledge. You can't have this kind of knowledge of God and not have conviction. Any other thing that will try to deter you from this God, it has come late. In fact, they came late. Are you getting me? Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Intercourse with the Holy Spirit. Experiential knowledge. Mandoborobo sabata. It becomes very real. Catherine Kuhlman will tell you that don't offend him. Don't vex him. That's the Holy Spirit.
He is all I have. She said the Holy Spirit is more real to her than the physical human being she's seen. That's the height of her intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That's the dimension of intimacy, the depth of her intimacy. Is God that real to you? Am I communicating? The people that do know their God. Go back again. Daniel 11 verse 32. They shall be strong and they shall what? Do exploits. This is a secret of exploit. Attention commanding results. Supernatural feats and results. This is the secret. Give me Job chapter 42 verse 5. Look at the experience of Job. Watch this. Job 42 verse 5. Job said, I have heard you before. I've heard about God. I've heard about God. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But somebody say now. He said, but now, what? Help me. My eye seeth thee. In other words, I used to know you. No, I used to hear about you. That's knowing about God. From what people told me. He said, but now, there is a big difference. Oh, now my eye seeth thee. Now I have encountered you. Now I have known you experientially. Now I know you in reality. There is a big difference between the two. There is a big difference between the two. If we don't teach you this, some of you can go to the Western world. And then by the time the comfort of the Western world, before you know, and the things they are teaching their society with all manner of madness going on, with such an atmosphere that encourages LGBTQ, all this, their wahala everywhere, LGBTQI+, and they are teaching it in their school right from the elementary. They are beginning to put it into their curriculum. I was reading one news. Is it Kanayo or Kanayo that he was praying for his son going to America? He said, may you continue to be a he. Why? Because now people do transgender transformation like water. A man can just wake up one day and say, I'm tired of being a man. I want to be a woman. You go and do surgery, take plenty drugs. And you now start looking like a woman. Breasts will pop out. You go and do surgery. Are you getting me? Madness. A woman can wake up and say, I'm tired of being a woman. I want to be a man. Now go and do. Are you understand? Transgender. And their society is encouraging it. They are hailing them. They are supporting them. It's an agenda, demonic agenda. Imagine you going there now. And look at drugs everywhere among youth. The average American youth on campus. Drugs is a major challenge. They remove Bible from their schools. What replaced it? Drugs, criminality, sexual perversion, abortion like water. Guns. Somebody can just get angry. Small issue between him and his classmate. Just remove gun. Pwah, pwah, pwah. Damn. You understand? Madness. They used to have Bibles in their schools. They used to say the Lord's Prayer. Satan entered their head. They say, why would they put Bible? They removed it. They even stopped doing the Lord's Prayer. And Satan took over. And imagine you leaving Nigeria, going there, and you don't have conviction about God. God is not yet real to you. You now see what is happening to many of our people there. I'm not saying you people should not go. Those of you God have said you should japa. But make sure you know this God in reality, not just head knowledge. Are you listening? The people that do know their God. I like this series, honestly. I'm enjoying it already. Hi, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye what? Seeth thee.
What is an encounter, right? So, okay, before I define it, I made one statement before. I say God can be known through divine encounters. God can be known through divine encounters which reveal unique dimensions of his glory and person. Okay, or person. God can be known through divine encounters, and these divine encounters, they reveal God to us. They unveil unique dimensions of his glory. What is an encounter? An encounter is a supernatural experience that crystallizes. An encounter is a supernatural experience that crystallizes and concretizes convictions. An encounter is a supernatural experience that crystallizes and concretizes convictions concerning the reality of something or someone. Concerning the reality of something or someone. I take it again. An encounter is a supernatural experience that crystallizes and concretizes convictions concerning the reality of something or someone. Encounters, divine encounters, makes God and his word real to us. Divine encounters make God and his word real to us. Oh yes, they make the Holy Spirit to be real to us. They make Jesus real to us. They make the word of God to come alive. Look up. The word of God is always alive, oh, but it's not always alive to you. It is through encounters that the word, the written word on the pages of the Bible, suddenly they will come alive to you. And that is when we say you have received rhema. Am I communicating? All those eureka moments. Divine encounters are life transforming and destiny defining. This is how our lives and destiny radically changes, oh, is through divine encounters. They dramatically alter our lives and destinies. I say divine encounters are life transforming and destiny defining. Okay? Now, divine encounters can be spectacular in nature. They can be spectacular experiences or non-spectacular supernatural experiences based on the word of God. All divine encounters are based on the word of God. So they can be spectacular. I think by tomorrow I will go deeper. You will begin to see the different kinds of encounters, and then we'll look at the platforms for divine encounters tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow. Am I communicating? Now, generally, look up. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Give me Hebrews 11 verse 6. You see, for these 14 days, we have been seeking God's face, right? We've been waiting upon the Lord in fasting, in prayer, in his word. We've been seeking him in fasting. We have been seeking the Lord in prayers. Do you know there is a reward attached to it? Are you aware? Jesus said there is a reward for fasting. We saw it in Matthew 16:16-8. And then we are seeing in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently. Watch it. In other words, seeking God requires diligence. Watch it. Them that seek him. Is that what that scripture say? No. What did he say? Them that diligently seek him. So it requires diligence. It requires effort on your part.
You can't see God casually and expect an encounter. No. No. You need to hunger for it. You need to thirst for it. You need to desperately desire God. Desperately desire to know Him. Am I communicating? You need to passionately long for Him. Nobody ever had any divine encounters in the Bible or in contemporary time or in history or even in our present time by seeking God casually. Mm-mm. Diligently seek Him. Passionately seek Him. Desperately seek Him. God is not an option. When you understand that God is your all in all, it's not an option. You see, the way we are pursuing this God, we pursue Him as if we have other options. That's the problem. We seek Him as if we have alternate. Even when we pray, in our mind, it's as if we have other plan B. If God does not answer, I will try this. Mm-mm. He said, you will seek me and find me when you search for me. How? With all, not some, with all. Give me Jeremiah 29 verse 13. With all your heart. This is how to get rewarded from the rewarder God. If you want God to reward you, you have to seek Him diligently, not with laziness. You can't afford to be lazy here. Then you will seek me. Inquire. No, give me Message translation. Message. I like the way the Message put. You seek God. Okay, I like that. Require me as a vital necessity. Let me tell your neighbor, God is not an option. God is my one and only option, in fact. Tell your neighbor, God is not one of my many options in life. In fact, God is my one and only option. When you understand this, you start seeking Him as a vital necessity. He is like oxygen. Can you do without oxygen? When you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes! When you get serious, you get serious. Not casual approach. You don't get encounters by casual approach. No. You have to be serious. You have to be diligent about finding me and want it more than what? Anything else. Is this true for some Christians? Do they really want God more than anything else? Their life and their actions is not showing that they want God more than anything else. Some want football more than God. That's the truth. Their actions is proving to us that they want football more than God. Some want movies more than God. Some want money more than God. You don't see why they have not yet encountered Him? They are still playing religion. Some want African magic more than God. He said, you will seek me and find me when you are serious. When you want me more than anything else. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Oh, I love this. Encounters with the Lord of the harvest. My prayer for you is that you will not know, you will not just know about this God we are serving. You will get to know Him in reality. And there are two principal ways that you encounter God. Number one, through His word. Number two, through the person of the Holy Spirit. These are the two major ways you get to know God. You encounter God. When we say encounter with God, it's usually these two ways. You either encounter God through His word, because in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. God and His word are one and the same. So when you encounter His word, we'll go into details tomorrow. When you encounter His word, it is Him you are encountering. I'm not talking of head knowledge. I've said word encounters. The second way is you encounter God is by encountering the person of the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? Kaligogo rapalataya. Mala cross ketila barakatia. I'm talking of divine encounters, not just any hour encounter, because encounters can be divine or demonic. Satan can transform as an angel of light and deceive people. Is demons too can transform. Those fallen angels can transform too. So they are demonic encounters. Some people have had demonic encounters and they think it's divine. Tomorrow I will go into detail. You will see how to differentiate demonic encounters from divine encounters. Talking of divine encounters, am I communicating? Lift up your hands. Say, Father, I want to know you more. I want to serve you more. You see, you can't even serve him better when you don't know him better. The better you know this God, the better you serve him. Talk to God. I don't just want to know you in theory. I don't want a theoretical God. I don't just want to have a theoretical God. I want to know him in reality. I want to know you, Ayagabariko Brakata, experientially. I don't just want the head knowledge of God. I want to know him in reality. I want to know this God experientially. I want to encounter this God. I want a divine encounter that will make God real to me. As I study his word, as I fellowship with the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me to encounter you. Help me to encounter you. You are the Lord of the harvest. Liko Barakata, can you talk to him? Job said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth you. Liko Barakata, Kaprakato, Sofreketeke Barakatai. Are you praying? He said, but without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. You must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you search for me with all your heart, when you want me more than you want anything else, Father, make me your one and only desire. Make me your number one pursuit, passion, and priority. You begin to prioritize God above all else. You begin to pursue him more than anything else. You pursue Ashilabata more than how you pursue human beings to help you, more than how you pursue money. You begin to pursue this God. God becomes your obsession. God becomes your one and only option. God becomes real to you. Paul said that I may know him. Give other Philippians 3:10 that I may know him. This is the cry of the apostle that I may know him. Akapatizo barakata. Father, reveal yourself to me progressively. Reveal yourself to me. Akapatuzo beletia. He said that I may know him. Give us an amplified and the power of his resurrection. Ilabakata kaba. Want to become deeply acquainted with you. He said, but my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of your presence stronger and more clearly. Come and turn this into a prayer. If Apostle Paul could pray this prayer after years of successful, impactful ministry, after all the dimensions of the miraculous he walked in, after all the miracles, signs and wonders, after all the revelation he wrote to the churches, after the churches he planted, after the depth of revelation, he still screamed and cried, Lord, that I may know you. If he could pray that prayer, then it is worth praying. It is worth praying by you. Father, help me to know you more. All divine encounters, they come from the Holy Spirit, and they are all
based on the word of God. Radiko so brekete la pate lo frekida jeli la barose brekete. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray for you. I pray for you. I bless you with a new hunger for God. You didn't hear me. I say I bless you with a new passion, a new hunger, a new zeal for God and the things of God. Receive grace to know God. To know God experientially. To know God intimately. To be deeply acquainted with Him. Through intimacy with the Holy Spirit. To know Him in the place of prayer. To know Him through His word. In the name of Jesus. As you meditate, as you study and meditate on the word, I decree and declare, let the eyes of your understanding be opened. Let your eyes be opened to the reality of the of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. A new hunger, a new passion, a new zeal, a fresh fire. Let it burn in your spirit. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with the wisdom of God. I bless you with grace for visions and revelations. I bless you with grace for divine encounters of the God kind. I decree supernatural visitation, divine visitation. Let this be a season of divine visitation. Encounters with God, encounters with angels, encounters with Jesus, encounters with the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Encounters with the spirit of just men made perfect, connected to your destiny. In the name of Jesus, go from grace to grace. Let your faith come alive. Let your faith be built stronger. Let your faith soar. In the name of Jesus, you will not compromise your faith. The vicissitude of life will not make you to vacillate in your belief and convictions. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you. Tomorrow we continue.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sargon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.